Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. We are thankful to have the opportunity to bring to you, after 30 years of broadcasting, the reassuring message of God's free and sovereign grace. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Pray as we go forward together this morning into God's Word. Please stay tuned for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.
Good morning and welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. It's always a great privilege to speak to you by way of radio. We never take it for granted that we have the sweet, sweet privilege of coming into your home, into your automobile, wherever you're receiving us this morning. What a sweet privilege it is. Please pray for us for the time that we're together. I want to read to you a passage of Scripture to be found in Revelation chapter 14, verses 12 and 13. Here is the patience of the saints. And boy, we need that, don't we? We need patience. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. If you want to see the patience of the saints, where is that housed? If you want to see what it looks like, those that keep the commandments of God experience it, and it's the fruit of the faith of Jesus Christ. And so what is that? And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Now, I'm telling you, the world has trouble with this passage. They do not understand this passage of Scripture. But I'm telling you, I don't know how many times I've received phone calls from loved ones to let me know that their mother, their father, who'd been suffering greatly, had passed away. And I've responded by saying, I can't tell you how happy I am for them. I'm sad for us, but I'm happy for them. And I've had people tell me, whenever I've shared that with them, what I've told people, I've shared with people that I have told individuals who's lost loved ones that I'm happy for their loved one. I'm sad for their children, their husband, their wife, grandchildren that are left behind, but I'm happy for them. And whenever I've shared that, I have made that a part of my statement to individuals who've lost loved ones, and I've shared that with individuals who did not necessarily understand the truth of God's Word, they would remark, that's so hard. How can you say that? That's so unfeeling. It's insensitive to say that you're happy for the individuals who've gone on. Listen, John says blessed. The word blessed, one of the definitions, is happy, full of joy. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. The Word of God says they're happy. I'm going to be happy for them. As God the Holy Ghost will enable me, I want to tell you what He's revealed to us in this blessed book about this. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. How many times have I stood by the bed of a dying friend or relative? Our hearts ache to lose any who are dear to us. We hurt for the husband or wife, parents, children, others who miss the love, companionship, the assistance of that faithful one who's passing out of this world. Yet, as we watch our friends leave this world of sin and sorrow, knowing they're entering into heaven's everlasting glory, knowing that they're falling asleep in the arms of their Savior, we say with John, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Notice, At the outset, the Word of God does not say, blessed are the dead. That's not true. Just to die is not a blessing. There are many who are dead and are forever cursed and will experience everlasting separation from God. What the Word of God does say is this, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Now that's another thing altogether. That, my friends, is precious. And by the way, in Psalm 116, David says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That's right. The psalmist sang, it was a psalm. The psalmist sang, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Those who die in the Lord have entered into a state of eternal blessedness. The death of a believer is precious to God, and it's blessed to him. It does not matter when a believer dies, where he dies, by what means he dies. Remember that. Under what conditions he dies. They may be terrible and tragic. The blessedness of the believer's death is that he dies in the Lord. And let me tell you, very, very soon, I don't care how young you are listening to this, life is but a vapor. Listen, I just opened, it seems like just a little twitch of my fingers, and just a few years ago, I was marrying my wife, and that was 37 years ago. Now, very, very soon, we must leave this world. Job said, is there not an appointed time to man upon the earth? Are not his days also like the days of a hireling? We would be very wise to, from time to time, to take our minds off of the cares and troubles as well as the toys and the riches of this world and look across the brief sea of time to eternity, to that future world so surely awaiting us. Looking at things from the believer's perspective, we say with John, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. So, who are the blessed ones? Who are these words spoken of? The voice which John heard from heaven declared, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. That is to say, those who die in the Lord are blessed from henceforth. That means from the moment of their death eternally. And I want to know who those people are who die in the Lord. Those who are blessed forever from henceforth. Verse 12 says, who are they? Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. They're saints. Those who are blessed of God in death are saints of God on earth. Heaven's a land of saints. None but saints enter into heaven. Now let me say this, since death does nothing to change a person's character, you don't become a saint when you die, that means you had to have been a saint before you left this earth. Yet by nature we're all sinners. So how can sinners be made saints? So that they're blessed when they die in the Lord. That's pretty important, isn't it? Only a work of God's almighty grace can make a sinner a saint. A saint is one who is holy, and nothing short of the work of God's own hand can transform an unholy man into a holy man. Nothing but grace can make a sinner a saint. That work of grace, which makes hell-bent sinners to be the saints of God, happens threefold. First of all, predestination and election are involved. God's saints are people chosen of God in eternal election and predestinated to sainthood even before the world began. Saints are made by God's sovereign election. Listen, notice what Paul says now. This is what the Word of God says. If you have an argument, it's with the Word of God. This is how we're made saints, so that we're blessed when we die in the Lord. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us in the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Isn't that incredible? That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he gathered together in one all things in Christ, even in which are on earth, or which are in heaven, even in him, in whom, in Christ, we've obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. And so there it's very clear that God, before the world was, chose us as his children. He loved us, set his affection upon us, and adopted us into his family. And then he determined, he predetermined, that's what the word predestinate means, to predetermine the final destiny. And everyone that the Father chose and loved and adopted into his family, he has determined their destiny is to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. But election and predestination, God's plan and purpose for you is not enough. What do you mean it's not enough? No, my friends, we must also be redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Our sins have to be put away. We will not be saved at the expense of God's holiness. It's not enough that God loved us and chose us and adopted us and predestinated us. He is going to have to cleanse us so that we can be in his perfect, spotless presence. We must be justified. We must be made righteous. We must be redeemed. The word redeem means to means to do it again, be bought back again to God. We were lost in Adam, and we were lost in our sinful practice, and now God must buy us back. We must be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Listen, in Romans 3:21, and this is the reason you're blessed when you die, because Paul said, now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest. It's witnessed by the law and prophets. He's talking about the presence of Christ in the world. The life of Christ is the righteousness of God manifest on the face of the earth. And it was witnessed, it was testified before by the law and the prophets that the righteousness of God would come into this world. The law and the prophets said that the righteousness of God would come into this world as the Ancient of Days, the eternal Son of God would make his advent into this world. Emmanuel, God with us. So, he says in verse 23, we need the righteousness of God because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he tells us how that happens in verse 24. He said, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. How will we redeem? God set him forth to be a propitiation or a satisfaction through faith, that is God's faith in his blood. And he declared his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. That's amazing. Christ has done that for us. He's made us to be sin. He's made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5. We're blessed in death because we're made righteous through the righteousness of the Son of God, and there's no legal obstacle. How do you know that? Paul says in Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Titus 2, Paul said he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Your sins are gone away. Christ has redeemed them. He's brought you back from them. When you die, there's nothing to stand between you and God. There will be no separation in death, in your death, because there is no condemnation. Christ has removed it all. He has put away sin. Paul says in Hebrews 9:26, Christ has put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So we're blessed in death. We're happy in death because God planned and purposed us to be his children in the covenant of grace, in election and predestination. We're blessed in death, no separation in death. We're happy in death. We go into the presence of God in death because of redemption. And then finally, in regeneration, we're blessed in death because we've been born again. We must be born again, set apart, born again, given a new nature by the Spirit of God. We must have an experience of the life of Christ while we live in this world. We must be resurrected from our dead state in sin to a live state in Christ. There's the old saying. There's an old saying. Old preachers used to say it. If you're born twice, you die once. But if you're only born once, you die twice. What does that mean? Listen, if you're born twice, you die once. But if you're only born once, you die twice. If you're born twice, that is, if you have a natural birth and you're born again, you only die naturally. But you live eternally. You see that? If you're born by nature, physically, you have a physical conception, and then you're born again, you can only die naturally. You can't die eternally. But if you only have a natural conception, you're born once and you're never born again, born twice, you're going to die twice. That is, you are going to die naturally, physically, and then you're going to have the second death, which is eternal separation from God. The scripture talks about the second death. But those who've born twice, those who've been conceived naturally and been born again, born the second time by God's grace and experienced eternal life and the power of the new birth, can only die once, and that is naturally. And then you live eternally because you've been born again. You've been redeemed. You've been chosen by God. But if you're only born, if you've never born again, if you're only conceived naturally, and you're never born again, you're never given eternal life, you don't have an experience of it, that person dies twice. They die naturally and they die eternally in the second death. How thankful we should be. Listen to what Paul said about being born twice, the second time. Paul said, "In you hath he quickened." That don't mean he's made you fast. It means he's made you alive. "In you hath he quickened who were dead," not physically, but spiritually, "in trespasses and in sin." And he says, "But God is rich in his mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. He's raised us up together, made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ." So there it is. You're born twice. You're born, you're conceived by your natural mother. You're born there, and then you're born again by the Spirit of God, and you're raised to eternal life. Amazing. And it's not because you were good. You're not born the second time because you got good enough to be born. Listen to what Paul says. "But after that," this is Titus 3, I love this, "but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done." How are you born again? How do you come into relationship with Christ? I can tell you one of the ways it's not. It's not by your works of righteousness. It's not by your belief. That's a work of righteousness. It's not by your baptism. That's a work of righteousness. It's not by your Christian giving. It's not by persevering. It's not by holding out. It's not by doing all of those things. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy. That's what Paul said, "but according to his mercy, he saved us." How does he save us? What's the mechanism? By the washing of regeneration, born again, and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Isn't that amazing? And so if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. A new man must be created in you in righteousness and true holiness. And that new man is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's amazing. And so to those that happens to those that takes place, those that were given in Christ before the world was, those that were chosen of God, predestinated in the adoption of children, those that were redeemed, those that were born again, then you'll be able to identify them. They're going to be born again. They're going to produce spiritual fruit. You'll be able to see them. There's evidences that they're a child of God. Their nature's been changed. Jesus said, you make a tree good, the fruit will be good. And so John gives us some of the fruit of these believers, those that are blessed when they die in the Lord. They're patient. Believers, born-again children of God, those that are on their way to glory are men and women of patience. They endure the troubles of life. They endure the temptations of Satan with the patience of faith. Do we do it always? No, but we do it. We do. There are times that we're patient. We trust in the Lord. We're patient, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We run. Paul says, let us run our race with patience. How? Looking unto Jesus. When you're born again, you're given faith. You're given eyes to your soul so that you can look to Jesus. And with patience, he becomes the author and finisher of your faith. We can, in patience, we can possess our souls. That's what Luke tells us in 21:19. We can in patience possess our souls. We can patiently endure adversity. We can patiently, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, wait for Christ, as Paul says in Romans 8:25. We can be patient. And we can follow the Lord. We can keep his commandments. He said one of the identifiers of those who are the blessed die in the Lord are those that keep his commandments. Again, we don't do it perfectly. But let me say, the person who is blessed in death, who keeps, they will have evidence. There's evidence. God gives you sweet evidence that you belong to him. You have a desire to keep his commandments. You try to keep his commandments. Now listen, we know that John is not saying obedience to God is a condition for salvation. We read in God's book, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Salvation is by grace alone. Our works do not merit eternal life for us. Keeping the commandments are not meritorious, but they are evidential. They give us evidence. They bring us sweet evidence that we belong to God. Our works, salvation is by grace alone. John's not suggesting that we're to put ourselves back underneath the yoke of the law and try to keep the law, because we're not under law, we're under grace. What John is telling the believer is this, the child of God, the saint of God, you can identify them as those who have a desire to keep the commandments of God, to keep the precepts of the gospel. 1 John 3 says, this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of God and love one another as he gave us commandment. God's people will believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll love him when they hear him preached, when they hear him taught. They'll love one another. Let me say this. If you can't love your brother, if you can't love your sister, if you're always thinking hard and evil thoughts about them, if you're looking at ways to undo them or to hurt them, then that makes me wonder. So those that keep the commandments, keep the faith, the blessed promises of God, those are evidences that we are the Lord's people and that we are blessed and going to be blessed in death. They're not the reason we're saved, but they're the evidences that we're saved and that we are going to be blessed whenever we leave this world for all eternity. Not because we did them, but they're evidences that we belong to God. So, now I didn't just say blessed are the dead, you remember, but those which die in the Lord. Those who are, upon their death, forever blessed of God, are men and women who are in the Lord. Now that's the great essential all-telling point. Those people that are blessed could not have died in the Lord had they not lived in the Lord by sovereign election, eternal union, divine regeneration, vital union. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. To be in Christ is to live in Him, drawing life and grace from Him. What an amazing, amazing Savior. What is the blessedness of the believers? Well, obviously, I can't tell you all, because all of it's not been revealed. I have not seen ear hath heard, nor the heart of God, nor the heart of men imagine them. But God has revealed some of those things to us by His Spirit. I can say this, the blessedness of heavenly glory is infinitely greater than our feeble minds can imagine. John does reveal some things about the blessedness that's waiting upon the believer in his dying. Job said that, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He shall stand at the latter day upon this earth, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold not another, though my reins be consumed within me. We know that we're going to receive a body one glorious day. That's sweet to think about. We know that we're going to see the Savior as we die, because the martyr Stephen in Acts chapter 7, as he was dying, he said, Behold, I see the heavens open, the Son of Man standing on the right hand, the Son of God, there to receive Him. We're going to have a new body. We're going to be with the Savior. We're going to be with the saints of God. We're going to be in a better land, in a happy land. There's going to be no murderers, no thieves. Nothing that can defile will enter there. Thank God. Once with Christ in glory, God's elect are beyond the gunshot of the enemy. Once we've left this world behind us, every remnant and evil consequence of sin is gone. In the glory land, there's no more weeping, no more sorrow, no more pain. It's the beautiful land of no mores. No more ignorant ones to teach, no more erring ones to correct, no more despondency to comfort, no more error to oppose, no more needy ones to help, no more fences to mend, no more strife to heal, no more sick ones to visit, no straying ones to convert, no tears to dry. We're going to rest.
As we bid you farewell today, please remember to tune in next week to this channel at the same time for the Gospel of Grace broadcast. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Please pray for us. And until next week, may the Lord richly bless you all is our prayer.